A half-brother and sister, both 4 years old, are dead after an overnight fire at a home in New York City. Police say the twin of one of the children has survived, hospitalized along with two adults. Investigators are trying to determine what caused the blaze late last night at a home in Queens. Four French journalists who were kidnapped and held for 10 months in Syria are back home. AP's Elaine Ganley reports from Paris that their return should give President Francois Hollande a bit of a boost in his record low poll numbers.
This is at the least an emotional victory for Hollande. These are not the first hostages that have returned home under his watch. It can only be good news for him.
The journalist captors have not been formally identified, although the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant, among the most radical of the Islamic groups operating in Syria, is a main suspect in their abductions. I'm Tim McGuire, AP Radio News.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a chef for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Hey, everybody, it's David Nikki Nellis of Foodie and the Beast. Nikki's here, I'm here, my allergies are here, so if I sound croaky, I apologize.
Nobody's listening to
me. You know, couple of million people out there. Also here is Vic Albizu, our old buddy. He's the chef owner of Del Campo downtown. It opened up, what, April 22nd last year, and you're already a home run, man.
Mazel tov.
Esquire named you the best new restaurant. You're a Rammy finalist for best new chef and best new restaurant, and we haven't even mentioned.
The best old chef.
You look it, man.
Especially this morning. Jeez.
I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to mention Taco Bamba.
Okay.
Jeez Louise. All
Sorry.
Right. And speaking of Northern Virginia, Boston is a hotbed of restaurant activity these days. The Boston Bid is doing some cool things to encourage even more restaurant openings out there. The Bid CEO Tina Leone's in with beer meister Brian Lopes and Lionel Holmes, who's the gourmet hot dog king. They're participants in the Bid's wide open competition to find Boston's next great restaurant and restaurateurs, and we're going to find out about that in a bit.
Yep, and Doran Peterson is back in studio.
Hello,
with
Doran,
us.
The you sweetest all... guest we have.
Aw, that's so sweet. But you all know her from Sticky Fingers, her fabulous bakery in D.C., and her terrific cookbooks. But did you know she's also shaking up some cocktails now up there?
I did know.
Well, I know, too, but we're going to tell everybody about it. And she's got some new savory foods as well. So Doran's got a lot of new things going on. We're going to find out all about it. And I am a complete and total lover of the Le Creuset cookware line. I have many pieces of it, and I love it. And they have an incredible, gorgeous new line for spring. It's called Matt. They brought a bunch in studio. I'm going to see how much I can steal before the end of the show. Human Kokabi. Did I say it right, Human? Excellent. Is in. He's going to tell us all about a little bit about the history of the company and the cookware and how you can use it in the summer and on the grill. So I'm really looking forward to that.
We're going to head down to Mexico. We just did France. Now we're going down to Mexico Way.
Mm-hmm.
Downtown on 14th Street, just a block from the Obama's house, is MXDC by Todd English. It's a Cocina Mexicana, offering Mexican cuisine with a modern touch. I read the materials. So it also offers bodacious cocktails whipped up by one of D.C.'s most colorful and beloved mixologists, J.P. Caceres. J.P.'s in with Fareed Nouri, also of the restaurant, and we're going to be mixing it up Mexican style, yeah?
Absolutely. Good morning, Washington, D.C.
So why don't we start with you? So why don't we, before we talk about the restaurant real quick, give us your 411 because you got quite a resume.
And I just have to say, I smell tequila.
We smell mezcal today.
Okay.
Fresh lime juice.
Right. That should worry somebody like me who's when his wife is all the way across the room and she smells tequila.
Oh my God, I can smell it.
Officer.
It's making me shake.
All right. So tell us about you, bub.
All right. So, yeah, I've been mixing cocktails in Washington, D.C. for about like 15 years now. I'm gladly to be part of the MXDC group. We started the restaurant last year with a beautiful pre-provisional style of cocktails, fresh ingredients, homemade syrups, fresh juices, well-crafted spirits. We shake them, we stir them, we make love to the drinks. And that's what we bring for
that's
you today.
It's pretty sexy for a Sunday morning. Let's go.
Did you bring video of that?
No.
It's a radio show, but we can.
Farid didn't want me to bring that.
I don't know. We don't do that.
That's right. Yeah. We've got to be careful. All right. So tell us a little bit about the cocktails you pour down there.
So the first drink you're going to be, you're going to start tasting right now, it's the Margarita de Casa, which is an old recipe from 1965. It calls for 100% blue agave, agave syrup to match and blend very well together those ingredients. Fresh lime juice, despite the prices, the high prices of limes now these days. A case of limes used to cost $20. Now it costs $120.
I know, that's a whole other story. That's like for another
Mr.
show.
Chapo,
I
yeah,
know, it's
exactly.
insane.
But, you know, MXDC keeps making the drinks with fresh lime juice. No, nothing has changed. So I have that one with you and a little touch of Patron Citrinage, which is one of my favorite curaçaos out there, base tequila with a beautiful hint of orange. So that's what I have for you. I hope you enjoy
okay, great.
It.
Great. Well, we'll start with that. And Fareed, just come up to the mic for a second. Tell us a little bit about MXDC.
Well, the restaurant is an effort with Todd English, who's is his first foray into Mexican cuisine.
Right.
Which is actually what one of his passions. He actually started at a Mexican restaurant when he was a kid. So,
okay.
So it's been a passion of his and a dream, and now he's implementing it here in D.C. first with the JC as a chef who worked with him in Vegas at the Olives. So it's a nice combination of menu wise. We do really bold combinations and obviously really fresh ingredients on a daily basis.
Great.
So, yes.
Okay, great. All right,
sure.
We'll come back to you throughout the show.
Okay, sure.
And right now, we're going to be sipping on this
I took a
drink.
Sip. It's
I know.
Good.
It's really good.
All right. Which makes it easier to talk to you, Vic. Vic Albizu.
Thank you.
Stepped up to the plate a year ago with his new restaurant, Del Campo, and I think the ball is still traveling over the fence. So I'm going to give you an open mic here for a minute.
Wow.
Tell everybody about the
sure?
restaurant. Why not? Go crazy.
Well, Del Campo is a South American grill. We opened in Chinatown. Last year, April 22nd, and this year we're having a big anniversary party, including tango dancers and ceviches.
Cats and balloons.
All
and
kinds of stuff. Okay. And, you know, the Nellises. So
right,
that's a big draw, I'm sure.
Wait, or the Nellises? Because
the
I don't get to know it. Cool, man.
Yeah, that's it.
I'll be there.
When is it?
She needs a chaperone. Yes?
The party. When
the party's
it?
April 22nd.
April 22nd.
1 year exactly to the day that we open. And I can't believe it's been a year because it's been quite the year. We opened Tacobamba and Del Campo at the same
time. I know you had twins.
Time, yes. One's a little, it was like twins the movie. One's a little bit bigger, one's a little bit smaller.
Well, what's it like? You open a restaurant and it takes off like a rocket and suddenly Esquire picks you the way they did. Let's blow your mind.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still living it. So it's one of those things that I'm very grateful. And it's been an amazing year, not just from the national side and media and all that, but everybody in the city has been really, it's been really great. Everybody has had a... It seems to have fit a niche, so I'm really proud of it.
Well, let's talk about the restaurant a little bit. I mean, it has been a year, and some people may not have made it in there yet. David Nellis.
You haven't been in yet.
Somebody's got to make sure the kids don't kill themselves while mommy's out partying.
I've been here twice.
Bringing
you the food.
Explain how the restaurant has evolved in the past year. Because, I mean, I think when you open up a restaurant, you have an idea in mind, and then you have to evolve some of it.
It kind of evolves organically.
Right.
It becomes its own thing as it grows a little bit. So as Del Campo has grown, I think the bar menu grew, the lounge menu grew, the drinks have also evolved. But you know, lunch has changed, so you have a very different perspective when you come into lunch. It's a lot more sandwiches, salads, and we're opening brunch pretty soon too, which is going to be fun. May 4th. So there's going to be a lot of really cool takes on different kind of things. We're smoking eggs and we're doing all kinds of really cool stuff.
Because that's one of the things about the restaurant is that everything sort of sees the fire, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, everything comes
to
the grill.
I think I smoked an egg in college once.
Did you really?
Yeah, I think so. Can't remember. I got a question for you.
Yes.
Because, and it's interesting because we have this restaurant competition in Boston. So you open up a place and it goes right through the roof.
Right.
And then what kind of, how hard is it behind that door in the kitchen to keep everybody up and make sure you've got the same quality control and the same level of energy? You know, one thing, it's one thing to reach for the stars. When you get there, you want to stay there.
Well, you know, I think it's been a, you know, I think it's been clicking up all the whole way through. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of what I do, so it's what we do as chefs or as mixologists or as people in the industry. That's what we do. It's about growing and making everybody be able to follow you. And Del Campo has been it's been very successful, and we're very, very pleased, especially in a year with so many restaurants have opened in D.C. To be recognized as much as it has been, mm-hmm. has been it's been amazing.
Yeah, but what you're doing is so different, I think, from so many other restaurants.
Right, and steakhouses and, you know, that whole thing. Everybody has a different perspective on, you know, we like to make sure that everybody understands that Del Campo is a South American grill with multiple, with a variety of stuff.
I think a lot of people, when they think of South American grill, they think of one of those churrasas? What's it called?
No, churrasqueria.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a play on that. It's, mm-hmm.
But you're not coming around and slicing
the meat
off.
I'm not doing that whole thing, no. We put the boards out, you know, we have these big wooden boards that come out smoking to the dining room and with, you know, different kinds of meats, piles of meat. Everybody gets real excited. There's a lot of pictures being taken at Del Campo every night, so it's pretty cool.
Let's do a quick commercial for the party, because people can come to this thing.
Absolutely.
On
so it's $55 all inclusive on April 22nd,
okay,
from 7 to 10 p.m. It's a Tuesday night, and we're gonna have a lot of fun. I know the Nelsons will be there, so
yeah,
that's definitely gonna be a good time. We'll be passing out asado, which is, you know, different cuts of meat. We'll be passing around ceviches. There'll be free drinks all night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna be a lot of fun, and then we're gonna be doing also a Bamba Bowl from Taco Bamba, where you got all this food from.
Well,
today.
I wanted to go. Tell us about Taco Bamba for those who haven't been there.
Well, Taco Bamba is our little Mexican taqueria, our little engine that could. It's in Falls Church. I brought you some T-shirts, actually.
Thank you.
This is going to be more like nightwear for you, I think, though, Nikki. You know, I don't know if that's something.
It's getting hot already.
What? Excuse me. Well, just imagine yourself in this.
Right.
That might be even better.
I think it'll just fit my husband.
Cold.
I think it'll just
shut
fit him.
So, yeah, Taco Bamba is our little Mexican street food eatery that we opened in Falls Church, Virginia, behind the Idlewood Shopping Center, right off of Route 7. And we serve all kinds of really cool Mexican street food, grilled corn, tacos. And I brought you a bunch of stuff today, so
you
I want to see you guys
eating. You did. So tell us what you brought.
So we brought our namesake, which is our Taco Bamba, which is a taco with grilled guacamole, chorizo, flank steak, chicharrones on top of it. We have spicy shroom mushroom taco, which is a chipotle and portobello taco.
Mm-hmm.
We have tamales. We have grilled guacamole, which is everybody's favorite.
Can we talk about the grilled guacamole?
Yeah.
I mean, is that something you came up with? Because I never saw it before you did it.
Yeah, now it's kind of everywhere.
I grill all my avocados now, thanks
Good,
to you.
I'm
I
glad.
Mean, it's delicious.
I remember once at an event we were doing, somebody asked me how I get the guacamole from not falling through the grill grates. And then I had to tell them. Yeah.
And you said, if you're too stupid to grill an avocado, don't try it. Right.
I had to tell them that it's actually the ingredients that we grill and not the. Sorry.
Not the grill.
Yeah. You have to have like a little drip pan.
Pray.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he didn't answer my question. So is that something you came up with?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not something.
Well, you know,
it's
I'm a grill guy.
From anywhere.
And I really enjoy the sweetness that the grill imparts to so many vegetables, and mixing it in guacamole with the citrus is just a different experience. So, we're Taco Bamba's on May 3rd is popping up at Del Campo with a big party with OML and.
Oh, that's your taco party, right?
It's a taco party, yeah.
Right.
Oh, I think the Nellises will be there too,
man. The city. Are you going to be there too?
Hell yeah.
I hope so.
Tell me who's going to be there for that.
Oyamel, Casa Huaca, Mexican Bakery. We're all kind of throwing down and doing our best tacos on the patio, hopefully outside of Del Campo. So
right.
We're kind of we're bringing the twins back together for kind of a reunion.
Okay, what?
Nothing. I just want to say it's not, you know, Vic's a local guy, and it's nice to see a local guy do well. Did you know
Thank
that
you.
My bookkeeper, Aunt Frati, used to discipline him when he was a little boy? Did she babysit you? It's a small world, isn't it?
Can we not talk about this?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Right,
well,
Why?
She didn't discipline,
Why did
you discipline you that way.
You, Vic? What did you do when you were 5 years old?
I don't want to talk about it.
Was she wearing one of those outfits? Bad Vic.
Okay.
All right, we need to take a break.
We have to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk more with Vic and all the other fabulous people in studio today. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, A baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
The American Veterans Center invites you to attend the 2014 National Memorial Day Parade, Monday, May 26th at 2 p.m. along Constitution Avenue. Join thousands as we honor the sacrifices of our military from the American Revolution to today, featuring musical performances, marching bands, celebrities, and active duty personnel, all made possible with support from Strayer University, Wells Fargo, and visitmyrtlebeach.com. To learn more about how you can see the parade, visit nationalmemorialdayparade.com.
All right, we are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we're talking to local boy who made good, Vic Albizu, who's the chef owner
of
Del Campo. Well, I've got your picture on my wall at home, too, man. And Taco Bamba. Let's go back to Del Campo, because D.C. is becoming a huge brunch town, and you're jumping into the middle of that, right?
Absolutely. May 4th, we start on Sundays from 11:30 to 2:30. We're doing a lot of really cool South American-style dishes for brunch.
But in South America, do they do a lot of brunch?
Well, they eat a lot, so yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, I feel like brunch is kind of an American kind
phenomenon,
of concept. So
yeah.
How do you take sort of your dishes and brunchify them?
I really just throw eggs on everything.
Okay.
No, obviously Del Campo's got that, you know, the notoriety for having a really good meat program and all that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. We're definitely going to be adding some more brunchy type stuff to the menu to kind of balance that out. Mm-hmm. We're really playing around with some really cool smoked scrambled eggs that we're having a really good time with right now.
Okay.
We're doing stuff with chorizos and all kinds of different things that we're working on, and it's going to be really fun. It's going to be a really good time. So
okay,
it's
going to
be very unique.
Taco, man.
There's some heat on that taco.
Holy,
what do you think? I bring the heat.
Call the Boston Fire Department.
No, that's not happening to me.
That's why you have to down it with some mezcal.
All right. Well, we only got a couple more seconds. Make sure everybody knows where Del Campo and Taco Bamba are.
Absolutely. Del Campo is in Chinatown, 777 I Street, and
right by the new city center.
It is. Yes.
Lucky
by
you,
the
man.
New city center and the convention center and all that wonderful area that keeps mm-hmm. growing. And Taco Bamba's in Falls Church. Don't forget about the Bamba Bowl.
May 3rd.
It's $30 a person, all-inclusive. Mm-hmm. Lots of drinks, lots of tacos at
Great.
Del Campo.
Spoken like a true promoter.
And wait, April 22nd?
Is the anniversary party for mm-hmm. Del Campo. So that's $55 all-inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
You come in and have as much food and tango dancing and drinking as
so
you want.
So you pay us the $55, right?
It's
nice.
What?
I like that. Yeah, that sounds like a deal.
What are you talking about? I'm never coming back.
You're always
you,
coming back.
Thanks
all right,
so much.
Thanks, Vic.
Okay. JP, you poured a little bit of tequila, you poured a little bit of mezcal. Give us a education. What is the difference between the two?
Yeah, absolutely. So we brought you tequila ocho, mm-hmm. which is a state-grown Highland style. So Highland means it's going to be a little bit more sweeter,
okay.
It's going to be a little more elegant as the glass to your left.
Mm-hmm.
This one is actually one of the first guys to start doing terroir.
Mm-hmm.
Terroir is incredible. Means like you have to put all this passion and all this love for what you craft in your tequila. So what we have here, it's an 8 to 10 year old agave plant that has been aged for 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that you age over 12 months is considered an añejo.
Okay.
If you age it from 2 to 12 months, it's considered a reposado or rested.
Okay.
And anything that is 0 to 2 months, mm-hmm. it's considered a blanco or silver.
So, but the so is it the older, the better aged it is, the better tasting, the better quality?
No, not really. It depends like what you're looking for. If you want more bright colors and more more acidity to it, it's going to be the younger tequilas. Mm-hmm. If you want that little touch of oak, like, because it's being rested in bourbon barrels, mm-hmm. you want that reposado or añejo, which I advise you to sip and not to shoot it or to make it make a drink with it.
Right. Well, everybody's been shooting here this morning, so I mean, no. So when you're making a cocktail, though, what? How do you decide what kind of tequila or mezcal to put in?
And flavor profile.
Why do people confuse the two?
Well, first of all, because in the 60s, 70s, they started putting in, a warm in the bottle of mezcal just mm-hmm. to difference the tequila versus the mezcal.
And do they still do that?
No, not anymore.
Okay.
Montalban, the company, keeps doing that. But now it's completely different. We're more educated.
I didn't eat the worm in college.
So what the easy way to see is two. Tequila comes from Jalisco, mainly.
Nikki's talking about eating the worm, sorry.
I did it in college when I was in Mexico.
Mezcal comes from Oaxaca.
Oaxaca.
Yeah, so mezcal, Oaxaca from the southern part, from the northern part, tequila from Jalisco. Mm-hmm. And then you will get that earthy, beautiful aromas from the tequila. But if you go and smell your mezcal, mm-hmm. you're going to get that smoky component.
Mm. I have to be honest, though, like smelling both of these this morning, I mean, it's almost like smelling wines. I mean, they have great bouquets, both of them.
It's not like drinking wines.
We brought you two of the best tequila mezcals that we have at MXDC.
Okay.
The mezcal, let me tell you something, it's called pechuga. Mm-hmm. And pechuga means breast.
Okay.
These happen by...
He said breast.
That okay. we're allowed. That so, we are allowed to say.
It's out in the open now, folks.
So it is a chicken breast. I'm sorry to break your
good.
Rules.
Oh, good. Thank you.
It's chicken breast. So what it does is they have like apples, wild apples mm-hmm. and berries. What they actually ended up doing is they put the berries and the spices all mm-hmm. together in a raw chicken breast.
Okay.
They wrap it all together and it's called a compounding system where they leave it hanging on top of the agave juice before the distillation. So as the distillation starts happening, the whole smell, the whole steam travels through the chicken breast. And when the distillation process comes in, you can actually smell a little bit of chicken breast.
That is very cool. He's like,
while you guys are thinking about that, we're going to change the subject a little, but not much, because we're still talking restaurants. As we said at the top of the show, Boston is becoming one of those neighborhoods in the D.C. area that is restaurant-centric. Mm-hmm. Our buddies own Il Forno there. And, I mean, there are all kinds of new restaurants that have popped up there.
Mike Isabella's opening up there.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. The Muscle Bar is there. And you got Rustico there. And it's a bakery. Buzz Bakery. I mean, there's lots happening.
Well, and speaking of Isabella, he's kind of leading the charge with you. And Tina Leone's here from the Boston Bid. And you're having a competition to basically set somebody up in business. Lionel Holmes is here. He's the hot dog king. Is that a fair way to describe you, man?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. And Brian Loeb.
Lionel, we need to put you in front of a mic. You can either take JP's.
There we go. Brian, why don't you get in front of that. And Brian Loeb is, I guess you're a beer meister. Is that a fair way of describing you?
I've definitely had a few beers in my day.
Kind of looks like Sam, doesn't he?
No, he does not look like Sam.
He looks a little like our son, Sam.
You do not.
He's a beer dude. So, Tina, why don't you kind of do 2 seconds on the bid and what your mission is, and then talk about this competition.
Sure. We are the Boston Business Improvement District, and we are actually funded by the commercial property owners in Boston. And we work to market and promote Boston, to showcase the wonderful things that are all about Boston. We also do improvements in the community. But Boston is really, a lot of people don't know that it's really a nexus of creativity, imagination, and entrepreneurship. And we decided that we wanted to really make a statement about entrepreneurship and the fact that Boston is really a great place for you to start up and grow your business. We did a business plan competition last year with Mr. Ted Leontes as our judge. A lot of people don't know. Ted Leontes, yes. And what's the connection? Well, the Caps, we are the home of the Caps, Boston. You know, they play their games downtown, but they practice and they hang out in Boston. So Mr. Leontes was gracious enough to become the main judge for our competition. We had two winners. And those two winners have actually since been funded with their business plans. So we wanted to then go ahead and apply that to another industry, and then restaurants have become so huge in Boston.
I wonder if Ted wants to buy a radio show. just with the change in his pocket. That'd be cool.
Well, and we wanted the celebrity shtick. So we, when we heard that Mike Isabella was coming to Ballston, we were thrilled. I mean, he's joining the wonderful cadre of chefs that we have, including Robert Wiedmeyer. But we said, well, maybe he'll, with the little star, we need a little star power with this, as we did.
Don't
first
tell Mike
one.
He's a star. That's all he needs.
Guy can't resist the spotlight or the microphone. So.
Well, he was definitely enthusiastic and very supportive of helping out other entrepreneur restaurateurs. So
let's talk about this competition. What are the real sort of details? How do you enter? What's the process for being judged?
Well, and we're here today with two of our applicants.
Three.
Yes, that's
Vic,
right.
It's an applicant too.
He's getting the look from Lionel. Right. I'm telling you.
Like,
I get you,
awesome.
Man.
We're actually closing we've closed the applications, so we have everyone in. We have about
how many?
We have 25.
Wow.
What were you expecting?
Yeah, we didn't know.
Okay. I mean, I think 25 is pretty good.
It's awesome because we knew it's a very intense application.
You guys are like 25. No, that's too many.
That's too many. But we expected this. This is for experienced chefs who know how to not only cook amazingly, but they've got to be able to run the restaurant, run a real business, etc. They have to have some experience. Maybe this is their first foray of their own, but they've already worked as an owner.
Well, let's hear a little from Lionel and Brian. Lionel, how'd you hear about this?
Your background first? Tell us a little bit about what you do.
I've been in the restaurant business all my life, coming from the corporate sector. When I decided the time to venture on my own, my partner and I found a niche for a fresh new take on the family dining experience, using a sustainable product sourced locally, prepared in-house, with a strong emphasis on quality service, a fun experience, interactive. And we created hot dogs. Hot dogs and fries.
Can't beat that.
Yeah.
And what is your concept that you're pitching? I mean, what's your brick and mortar like?
We have two locations currently, one in Western Loudoun and Percival.
Okay.
That's the flagship. And we have a second location in North Old Town. Both hot dogs.
Okay. But I mean, what is it? A sit down, eat in? I mean, how big is the space? What are we talking about?
It's fast casual.
Okay.
It's fast casual. We pulled a little bit. My background was in fine dining. And when we created a concept, was looking for something that was fast, but had some of the takes from the full service. We wanted quality. We wanted interaction. We didn't want table service. We wanted people to be interactive.
But people can sit.
People can sit down.
Okay.
They can sit down. They can take out. You come in and you do counter service, and it is it's very interactive. Voted in Alexandria most kid friendly restaurant.
Oh, cool.
In Alexandria, so it is a true take, a new take.
So on I would like
family
it.
Dining
sure.
experience.
Okay,
so,
Brian.
So let's talk about Brian. What's your deal?
What are you doing?
Well, you know, my colleagues and I. There's three of us. I have more of a beer background. My other Josh has a wine background, and then we have our chef who's mainly focuses on American cuisine. We've been kicking around an idea for a couple of years now. And for us, it was just more of an issue of finding the right space, just finding a good spot that would really work for us. We'd like to focus mainly on not one particular item, but let's really give every component of the concept its fair due. So it's not going to be strictly a wine destination. We're not looking for strictly a beer or a food destination. We're looking for some place that kind of really can be a good hangout, a good spot for the community to come, relax after work, after practice, you know, you name it. So we've been kicking around the idea for a while and just kind of tweaking with it and going for more of a casual American cuisine.
Does it have a name?
We're looking at Bottle and Brew right now, just because we're not necessarily focused on one particular style of wine or one particular geographic location for beer or anything like that. So we're kicking around on it. It's a work in progress for sure.
Well, I guess what our listeners would like to know is later Lionel and Brian will be mud wrestling here at the studio to see what happens. And then Vic will take on the winner. That should be awesome. Can't wait for that.
Oh, my God.
All right, so very quickly, because we have about a half a minute, where is the space that these people will own?
So the space is, if you know where the Marymount building is, it's on Glebe Road. It's the 1,000 block of Glebe Road.
So that's actually right near El Forno, isn't it?
It's very close.
Yeah.
I mean, everything in Ballston is in a 5-block radius. It's easy to get to. So mm-hmm. that's why we have about 70 restaurants in that small area. But what we didn't talk about was the prizes. So let's do that.
So
the winner of this will get a 1-year free lease plus 10 years at below market rate, starting at $16 a square foot, which
that's
is a third of the market.
JP's going to tackle you before
you leave. I mean, wait,
where the hell was I?
Why did you apply? And then also, they have a $245,000 interest-free loan over that life of the lease. So it's a real commitment from the property owner and the bid to help this entrepreneur get started.
It's a great
It's an incredible
promotion.
Opportunity.
We want to set up for success. Absolutely. So the semifinalists, you got a taste at Taste of Arlington May 18th.
Okay.
We'll select them over the next couple of weeks, mm-hmm. and they will compete at Taste of Arlington. The top two will be selected for a restaurant head-to-head war challenge on June 4th. And then the winner will be announced the end of June at the Balsam Bids annual meeting.
Neat. All right, we got to take a break.
Is there
a web address where people can get info on this?
Go to BalsamBid.com and you'll see the restaurant challenge right there.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you all so much. This is David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
The American Veterans Center invites you to attend the 2014 National Memorial Day Parade, Monday, May 26th at 2 p.m. along Constitution Avenue. Join thousands as we honor the sacrifices of our military from the American Revolution to today, featuring musical performances, marching bands, celebrities, and active duty personnel, all made possible with support from Strayer University, Wells Fargo, and visitmyrtlebeach.com. To learn more about how you can see the parade, visit nationalmemorialdayparade.com.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Are you ready to race for impact? Are you ready to race for the cure? Join Susan G. Komen Global Race for the Cure this Mother's Day weekend on the National Mall. Saturday, May 10th marks the 25th anniversary of the Susan G. Komen Global Race for the Cure events in Washington, D.C. With fun for the whole family, including a race just for kids, everyone can help fund life-saving breast cancer screenings, treatment, and support services for the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Last year alone, programs receiving National Capital Area grants provided over 18,000 mammograms, educated more than 190,000 women about breast health, and assisted over 6,000 women in receiving timely and high-quality treatment services. But the work doesn't stop there, so get ready to race for impact. Get ready to race for the cure, Saturday, May 10th on the National Mall. Register today at globalraceforthecure.org. That's globalraceforthecure.org.
All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we mentioned earlier that Vic Albizu is also vying for that restaurant space in Boston, and he was sucking up mightily to the Boston Big
Beat. Running
out of food.
So what's your concept? You got 60 seconds.
We'll be doing a Mexican concept called Bombazo. It's the mother concept of Taco Bamba. So it's a pretty dramatic Mexican street food eatery and cantina.
Cool.
All right.
Good luck to all you guys.
A lot of really cool stuff.
It's a really cool opportunity.
Awesome. All right, JP, let's come back to you very quickly. It's MXDC by Todd English. What is Todd's input here? Did he frame out the whole thing, the whole concept?
Him and I, we had a powwow, and he pretty much delivered what he wanted to see in the beverage program. He wanted to get some cucumbers. He wanted to get some like raw flavors. And what I do is I read the chef, what the chef wants and the visions for his food, and I just put the booze in there.
Well, so let's give us some examples, because you just poured us two drinks. You've got this beautiful bottled drink.
Yeah, so this is our bottled cocktail. I'm one of the kids in the city who am being promoted in bottled cocktails.
It's a big concept. I'm seeing it more and more.
Yeah, I have it in probably like three different places in the city. So what it is the same cocktail you had before. You clarify the citrus by making it a little bit lighter.
I just like that Doran came over to her spot with, like, every cocktail in her hand.
That's right. She's not leaving a thing. Don't touch my cocktail.
So in this one, we call it a paloma. Paloma is a classic Mexican drink that it requires for lime juice, grapefruit juice, tequila. And what we did is we add a little bit of hibiscus syrup to it. We use this machine called a Perlini that actually allows you to shake the drink without exploding the shaker.
Neat.
And then we bottle them one by one, mm-hmm. cap them, and we label them.
And how long do they stay good for?
5-7 days, easy. But at MXDC, we make them every other day.
Every other day.
Yeah, okay. Delicious.
And then what is this? Bubbles.
And the second one is a cocktail that I'm putting in the next up-and-coming spring-summer menu. So we wanted to bring a little bit more of vegetables to your drinks. This one's a combination of tequila and mezcal, both. Mm-hmm. Lime juice, cilantro. I know Chef Mike Isabella loves the word cilantro. And then we have a little bit of.
He's not even here and he's getting slammed.
So you would call it a health drink, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much. So I hope you enjoy it.
I do.
Well,
it's
you won't
delicious.
Feel sick after you drink it. My goodness, this thing is delicious and strong.
All
so
right.
Let's talk
Doran.
Sticky fingers. Doran Peterson is here. You're back. Is this the third time? Or?
I think so.
Man. You opened Sticky Fingers back before Y2K. Right? Like 99 or so?
99 was when we started the concept, and then we opened our first shop in 2002, tiny little basement.
Mm-hmm, I remember.
From there, we've expanded to Columbia Heights. That was 2006. We started doing some savories and then cupcakes, and then the rest is history.
Well, for people who haven't been to Sticky Fingers and may not have heard our show when you've been on it.
It's hard to imagine, isn't it?
Right, hard to imagine. Tell us a little bit about the concept of Sticky Fingers.
Sure. It was started as a bakery, mm-hmm. and everything we do is vegan, so it's all egg and dairy free. Mm-hmm. And we don't use any animal products, and then expanding into the savory menu, we also don't use animal products. So all of our cupcakes are made with different alternatives, different ways to create the same textures and flavors. And you'll never...
So are you still like a mad scientist? Are you still constantly experimenting, trying to better the product? Or do you feel like so much of what you're doing right now is just so spot on?
Oh, no, we're constantly playing.
Okay.
I mean, the cupcakes or the cake base that we use today is not the same cake base that we created mm-hmm. originally. Like, we're constantly tweaking and fine-tuning and playing and then building off of what we have. Like, today I brought in alfajores, which... Mm-hmm. Turns out matches perfectly with the South American theme. And
right.
that's our sugar cookie, and we add a little bit of lemon to it. And then the dulce de leche filling is made with a coconut milk. So it's a caramel, but it's not, there's no, it doesn't have the heavy butter cream.
Coconut is the hot ingredient these days, isn't it?
It's delicious, and it's really easy to use, and it has its own fat source. We really like to play with it, and mm-hmm. there's ways to, I mean, coconut complements everything. I mean, have you ever tasted anything that isn't delicious with coconut?
You have two people here who do not like coconut.
That's crazy.
No, I switch to coconut oil and I do all that.
Yeah, you see, know. I guarantee that you will taste the dulce de leche, and it has such a strong caramel flavor mm-hmm. that the coconut just complements it. It's not a strong, overpowering flavor
right.
when you start
but
to
But here's the
it.
Question.
Sure.
You added a liquor license, and now you've got boozy milkshakes
right.
and all kinds of stuff. You're adding savory. Are you headed toward a restaurant?
Aren't you a restaurant? Isn't that kind of a restaurant?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to find out about one of those bids.
Right.
That sounded
exactly.
delicious.
Tell us about your savory menu and how you incorporated that. Like, what can people find there? And what does it mean? Like, so, like, if you're doing milkshakes, are those made out of milk?
No, we use a soy-based ice cream or we use a coconut-based ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And So Delicious produces those products for us. And then we add whatever flavorings we want, like, you know, vodka.
Right. Boozy milkshakes.
It is. It's fun. And on the savory side, we're doing things, baked savories, expanding off of our, you know, focaccias and building sandwiches. And then fun sandwiches, fun veggie burgers, California burgers.
You know, there, I just thought of this. There's everybody's excuse. But, officer, I only had a milkshake.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
No to-go cups for the boozy milkshakes.
What made you decide to go savory? I mean, after starting off as a bakery, why the savory selections?
There's so many reasons, but the number one reason is you cannot survive alone on sweets.
Okay.
You have to eat food.
Okay. No, survive financially as a business or survive
both?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just sort of curious.
People were coming in and saying, like, well, do you have anything else that's not sweet? And so we started making stromboli and focaccia and building some sandwiches off of that. And I think that just it was time. It was time where people were accepting more and more of the plant-based foods, and it wasn't nearly as scary mm-hmm. as it had been, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and we could start to introduce things that were accepted and eaten by everyone. You know,
right.
the vegan population is very tiny,
mm-hmm.
and while that is our main...
The vegan population may be tiny, but eating meat-free is way more accepted. And
correct.
People will not go to a restaurant because
there aren't any meat options.
Right. I mean, as long as the food is great. And
right. Nobody cares.
It's fun.
Right.
People are much more open-minded about their eating now.
Subject change.
Sure. Okay.
I'll just throw it out there and you guys can talk. Do you, Tango?
Oh, right. We have to talk about Tango.
Tango, baby.
Yeah.
So you're involved with the Chamber Dance Project?
Chamber Dance Project, yeah. And they are moving. They've just moved here from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they are starting off the season with a fundraiser called Tango with the Stars. Combine DC stars with seasoned dancers. And you have a mix of fun with... more fun.
So, but you guys, wait a second.
I happen to know one of the
judges. Excuse me, you're dancing in this.
Yes, it's been so much fun.
So
I am dancing.
Tell me about that. Tell me about, like, and Jen Riesick is in studio. She is dancing too. I'm judging, and nobody is trying to bribe me here. So, I'd like to know what's wrong with this situation.
You have like 14 cocktails in front of you and like all these cookies. I don't know what else I can do.
But he's not dancing. JP's not dancing.
Have you seen me dancing?
I'd love to see you dance.
Find me at Cuba Libre on Friday nights.
I would love to see you dance. Tell us about the regimen. Tell us about the regimen you've had to do in order to prepare for this.
Oh, wow. It's been amazing. I consider myself a person who's in shape, but the amount of strength it takes to learn a new type of dance is just, it's tougher than any recipe I've ever come up with. It's amazing. So we've had 8 classes with our dance partner. Mm-hmm. My dance partner is Don Beattie from Rockville Studio, and it's amazing. It's, you know, professional artists mm-hmm. combined with the professional dancers and music. It's live music. It's a big thing with the Chamber Dance Project. They bring live music to every performance. They're going to be at the Kennedy Center all season, and this year they are their featured choreographer is from Argentina. So therein lies the tango. Yeah.
So the competition is this Thursday.
It is
this Thursday.
And where is it?
It is at the Argentinian Embassy.
Good place
it should be
for
really
it.
Fun. I'm.
And
wait,
people
what?
Can come, right? There are tickets.
Yeah,
can the
it's at
come?
One Metro Center.
One Metro Center, I'm sorry. 712th Street, Northwest. Yes, and you can get tickets at chamberdanceorg.org and click on Gala Tickets. And you can also vote for your favorite dancer/DC celebrity. If you can't make it there, but you'll make it, right?
Everybody's going
to
make it.
I'm also available to be bribed because I can get to one of the judges.
Here, we'll have one of these cookies.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
Why, thank you.
And we brought our cherry blossom cupcakes.
We are.
We're all going to be there cheering you all on. We cannot wait. Did you buy a sexy outfit?
It's a secret. You have to wait and see.
Oh, I cannot wait. All right. Well, Doran, tell everybody where Sticky Fingers is and how they can see you and find you.
Sure. Sticky Fingers is at 1370 Park Road Northwest in Columbia Heights, and you can come visit us there, or you can stop in your local Whole Foods and pick up some brownies or some Calvin cookies.
Cool. All right. Hooman, come on up to the mic.
So now we're going to change the subject to cookware.
We are.
Hooman Kokabi is with Le Creuset. Did I say it right?
You did, absolutely.
I'm so French. And I can say Oué la Toilette, too.
That's really good.
Down the hall and to the right.
This cookware is like, you know, my wife bows and prays to it at our home every day.
We have
use
a very loyal, hardcore following. You know, once you start using our cookware, it's really, you know, it's downhill from
What's
there.
What's the background?
You know,
where did it come from? How'd they develop it?
It's handmade in our original factory in France. You know, we're a French company. We cast all of our round in cast iron ovens in the original factory in Fresnoy-le-Grand.
How old is the company?
Almost 90 years. Mm-hmm. Next year will be our 90-year anniversary.
And some French guy just had an idea? Is that how it works?
It was two gentlemen. One was Belgian, actually. He was an expert in enameling. The other one was a French gentleman. He was an expert in casting. They got together and decided to enamel cookware. Mm-hmm. And the original color was the flame orange. You know, that's sort of what everyone remembers us from. That's what grandmother's piece was. And it was intended to look like molten cast iron cooling down. All of these are original molds. They break the molds after they're cast, so they're all one of a kind.
But, you know, can you imagine two guys sitting around and one says to the other, let's enamel cookware. I mean, why don't we ever have an idea like that? I don't know. What are you doing tonight?
Nothing has really changed in 90 years.
I grew up, in my best friend's mother's house. She had one of the the towers, and she had from the largest to the smallest. She had like 8 of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, we cooked in them all the time. And I mean, as soon as I grew up, I got my first one. I love them. I use them.
Every kitchen should have at least one. You know, you don't necessarily have a kitchen full of cast iron.
Right.
A good kitchen has a mix of everything. You know, that's why we offer stainless steel and hard forged anodized. But for certain jobs, there's nothing better than these guys.
Okay, we have to take a break. Sure. When we come back, let's talk about how to use the different pots and pans that you have and all the bakeware. I mean, you have so many different options.
Absolutely.
Sure. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
Soar Optimist, an international volunteer organization for business and professional women, works to improve the lives of women and girls in local communities and throughout the world. Our projects give women and girls the emotional and financial support they need to change their lives. Through cash grants for education, hands-on efforts to end domestic violence, mentoring programs, women's health initiatives, and many other community-based projects, we help women and girls realize the potential of their dreams. Soar Optimist members join in an atmosphere of fun and cooperation to help solve the serious challenges facing women and girls in today's world. For more information on Soar Optimist and how you can support our mission, visit soaroptimist.org. That's www.soaroptimist.org.
If you're a fan of great military movies like Saving Private Ryan and Lone Survivor, then you will love the GI Film Festival coming to the D.C. area May 19th through the 25th. GIF is Sundance for the troops, where Hollywood and the military come together to screen incredible new movies, host parties and awards, and more. Plus, GIF is the only place where you can walk the red carpet with real military heroes and Hollywood stars like Gary Sinise, Ricky Schroeder, and Adam Driver. So don't wait. Get your tickets today at GIFilmFestival.com. That's GIFilmFestival.com.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
And we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Before we get back to Le Creuset, I just want to thank the friends of the show who support us with all kinds of stuff. Our friends at Georgetown Bagelry, best bagels in D.C., bar none. The guys at Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's Rustico Evening Star, Tallulah Vermilion Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley Church Key, and Iron Gate. What did I? Oh, I left out Blue Jacket, didn't I? Mm-hmm. And Blue Jacket, the folks at the,
and
what?
And the Partisan.
And the Partisan, that's right.
Yeah, you know, too many restaurants. The people at Early Mountain Vineyard, Black's Restaurant Group, the American Lamb Board, Virginia Wine Board, and the Trigger Agency that sponsors the Great Taste event out at Tyson's and the National Harbor Wine and Food Show. So thanks for supporting the show. Houman, let's get back to you. I guess we were talking before about, you know, how, I mean, when people come into the store, how do they decide what, I mean, how do you know what you need?
Well, you know, we ask questions, of course. You know, we like to know what's their favorite thing to cook, how they like to cook. You know, with our cast iron, it's very versatile. You can use it on top of the stove, in the oven. Mm-hmm. The cast iron pots that have the black knobs, they can go in the oven up to 500 degrees Fahrenheit. The mat collection that I brought into the studio, that comes standard with stainless steel knobs. There are no heat limits on those. The bodies are fired at 1,900 degrees, so if someone's got something in their house that can go to 1,900, I'd like to see it. So.
Me too.
Nikki
can you invite us over?
When she's angry, yeah. Nikki can.
Can you tell it's been a rough week for my husband?
Yeah.
Tell us about the mat line. Why and what does it mean?
Well, it's something...
I mean, is it just aesthetic?
Well, it's something that's very new for Le Creuset. You know, we're known for our colors. If you come into any of the stores, you know, we have anywhere up to 10 to 11 different colors out. vibrant colors. You know, it's very important to home chefs these days. They're designing their, you know, state-of-the-art kitchens. The cookware has become part of the design these days.
Mm-hmm.
Now with the Matte Collection, it's the first time Le Creuset has put out cookware in cast iron and stoneware that doesn't have a high gloss.
No, it's very, and they're neutral colors.
Very like neutral the, like... colors. There's a white, a mineral blue, a sisal, sort of a beige almond color, and they all have the matte finish. And right away, you know, what we've noticed is there's no fingerprints, no smudge marks. It's very easy to clean. It looks sleek and clean all the time.
But the cookware still conducts the same way.
It's the same cookware. It's just a different color. It's something that
would somebody
sort of
mix
done.
And match the colors?
Absolutely. Our customers mix colors more often than not.
Okay.
Even though we've got a full array of sizes and shapes in every color, it's sort of nice to mix colors. You know, that way, you know, these guys last generations. You're going to end up passing them down more than anything
else.
Well,
let's talk about the cookware itself and its conductivity and how people. How you advise people to use it?
Well, cast iron conducts heat or holds heat better than anything else. Once you get it warm, it stays warm. Le Creuset has two surfaces. We have a sand gloss finish, and we have a black matte finish.
Okay.
Black matte is usually found in our woks, our skillets, our grill pans, our paella pans, something high temperature cooking, and that's designed for high temperature searing. The pores will season themselves, so you don't have to do a seasoning step. It's enamel. It's not a nonstick. It's silicone, ceramic enamel. I'm sorry. The inside of the gloss, that's designed to develop a fond. You know, you can sort of monitor your food better with the light surface. And with the gloss, it lets you brown and crisp and caramelize a lot better and get the sort of... flavorful little bits off the bottom when you deglaze.
I got a question for you because Nikki cooks. I do the dishes. So when I'm cleaning that thing, I mean, the steel wool tends to dig into it after a while. So how should you clean it?
Soak it in warm water and soap after it's cooled off. And you can use nylon brushes. You can use the artificial green and yellow sponge with the rough side. You want to try to stay away from metal because it is ceramic on the inside.
Too late.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's 20 years old. It's still in great shape.
It's fine. It's totally fine. You know, at the end of the day, it's ceramic and cast iron. There's nothing that you're gonna, you know, get hurt by. It's old school cookware. It's just,
well. So now let's talk with summer coming and people doing a lot of grilling. I mean, a lot of people put their big pots and pans away, but you said to me when we were talking about it, you're like, no, keep them out because you can use them on the grill.
Not many people know that the cast iron is good on any heating surface. You know, you can use it on induction, infrared these days are coming out, and on a grill, absolutely. You know, you can use some of the saucepans or the roasting pans as a flat surface to saute, to do your sauces, to do everything in one spot. Because I know a lot of people, they'll grill outside, they've got the sauces going on inside, and it's a back and forth. But these guys,
you can just put them right on the grill.
Right on the grill.
You don't even need like that side burner.
Yeah. And they're you can use them in different ways. You know, a lot of people have been using them to bake their own bread at home. A round oven, there's a no need bread recipe on LeCreuset.com, also on New York Times. .com. It's been very popular. You need the bread at home. You bake it in the oven at home. And once you get the hang of that, you get pretty creative.
So which pot do you use for that?
Any
use the
rounds,
big one?
Yeah, any of the rounds, any of the ovals. They come in multiple sizes. You know, the largest one is 15 and a half quarts.
Right.
That's the goose pot. The smallest one's a third of a quart. The little mini cocottes. So we've got everything. Yeah.
All right.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much. Tell everybody where they can find you, because you guys actually have a store in Bethesda.
The Matte Collection is in the Signature Store in Bethesda. It's right there on Bethesda Lane, Bethesda Row shopping area, close to the Apple Store if you can't find it on Google Maps. Yeah,
Redwood.
That area.
Right.
We do demos in the store. We have chefs come in, and you know, every weekend we'll have a little special event.
Who's coming in soon?
We're actually trying to partner. We do a lot of the demos ourselves. I'm trying to partner with some.
I know Scott Druneau's been in there.
Scott Druneau's been in there. He's a good friend of ours. I want to set up definitely more future chef demos.
I think Victor Albizu.
Yeah. Right. Like, hello. What am I?
I'm in.
All right. He's in here connecting with everybody. What a networker. All right. Well, let's go back to JP. We got about 90 seconds. JP. Sangrita, can you give me 45 seconds on Sangrita? Because I'm not sure how it works with agave flavor and tequila and all that. I mean, is there a chemical reaction?
No, Sangrita is a chaser. So when you're drinking your tequila or mezcal, you want to be paired with either a heat or a food component. So what I do is my recipes are very like Southern Mexican